start up your Tuesday right here on VNA. A little drier Tuesday, still a 40% chance of rain throughout the listening area, but not nearly the shower activity we've seen the last several days. It's about to start a drying pattern into the rest of the week, which we'll take. Excited to have you on a Tuesday. Lot to do. Busy, busy show. Big stories out there with your trending topics. We'll pay off your B&E fact of the day here in a moment. How about this text box that says, mark my word. Mark my... I always love when you get the text. It says, mark the tape. Aaron Rodgers will be a Vegas Raider. So will Julio Jones.
Ooh. Oh, please bring that sideshow to Vegas.
Ooh, let me see. I'll connect the dots on that. Okay,
although so if you're love that tight end in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Darren Fells, heck yeah. And the running back Jacobs, pretty damn good. Rookie of the year a couple years ago. He got a running game. I would just say this. John Gruden could do worse because, and if you're the Packers, and this we'll let you hear from Aaron Rodgers again. He has spoken publicly about his issue, says it's not about Jordan Love. He likes Jordan Love. He thinks he's a great kid. It's about philosophy as an organization. And they're at a crossroads. You know, if the Packers do reach a conclusion that this thing's, you know, irreconcilable, right? The old irreconcilable differences, and they decide that, because the last thing you want to do is trade Aaron Rodgers. You want to find every way to fix it.
Right.
But if you come to the conclusion that you can't, and then you indeed have to trade him, then it's about what's the best deal? Where's the best offer? You know, I mean, there's an argument that the Raiders, with a bunch of draft picks and then giving you Derek Carr, who can at least, he's a pretty good quarterback. While Jordan Love continues to develop, that might be your best option at this point. Because if you're going to trade Aaron Rodgers, you need to get a quarterback back who's ready to play. And Derek Carr has been a several five, six-year starter in the National Football League and been pretty good at times. So at least you'd have a quarterback, and you'd get a the future in that role. And, you know, maybe the Vegas Raiders end up with Julio Jones to go with Henry Ruggs, to go with Darren Fells, to go with Josh Jacobs. We'll see. That's what the texter says. Mark the tape. Mark the tape.
I like the young coach in Vegas more than I do John Gruden at this present time.
The young coach in Vegas?
I mean, the young coach in Green Bay, I'm sorry.
Matt LaFleur?
Yeah, I like his.
Dude, John Gruden would chew up Aaron Rodgers, wouldn't he? Or he'd just bow to him. I don't know. I don't know how that relationship would.
That doesn't seem like a good fit, though, those two together, you know?
Well, because, like, John Gruden's hard on his quarterbacks, like, legitimately.
And Aaron Rodgers always needs a hug.
I think Gruden would hug him.
You think he would give in and start hugging him?
He'd start being a huggy guy.
Oh, no way.
Huggy bear. One other note.
Mike Mayock, I don't see that one.
On Julio Jones, most receiving yards per game for a career. Julio Jones still owns the most all time. 95.5 yards per game in his career. That's 10 better than Calvin Johnson, 12 better than Antonio Brown. So does he still have some game in his 31-year-old body? That becomes the question.
He's got enough game for a second-round pick to take a chance on.
And I mentioned the Giants. That'd be interesting. They're looking for weapons to put around their quarterback, Daniel Jones. But, yeah, Vegas, that's interesting. All right, let's pay off your B&E fact of the day. Congratulations to Longhorn right-hander Ty Madden, named the Big 12's conference's Pitcher of the Year. It's the seventh time a Longhorn has won that award in the Big 12's existence, 25, 26 years of existence. But the first time in 10 years. Who was the last Longhorn to win it? Anybody hazard a guess? No, the big right-hander out of, go ahead.
Houston Street, no?
No, gosh, that's 20 years ago now.
Is that 20 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, but no, and Houston Street did not win that award, if you can believe it.
What?
But yeah, the last Longhorn to win that award was the big right-hander from Rogers, Texas, Taylor Youngman. Taylor Youngman, who was the staff ace in 2011 for the Longhorns. And this will maybe give a little indication on that David Pierce has this program heading in a really good direction. You know, the Longhorns had the Big 12 Pitcher of the Year six times in 11 years from 2001 to 2011. When Youngman won it, he followed up Cole Green the year before. You also had Justin Simmons win that award, J.P. Howell, Kyle McCulloch, Adrian Alanese, Cole Green. The six of 11 years they had the Pitcher of the Year. That's when they were going to Omaha. That's when they were winning College World Series. And they haven't had one in 10 years. And now they have one, which kind of, you know, when you have that top of the rotation ace, typically you go places. And Taylor Youngman, if you remember, was just awesome. He threw that complete game against LSU in the College World Series as a young pitcher. I mean, he was a stud.
And how hard it is to be a major league pitcher, because I don't hear those names in Major League Baseball.
J.P. Howell had a pretty nice career in the big leagues. Youngman just battled injuries. You know, he was drafted by the Brewers in the first round. Then he pitched in Japan internationally.
It's hard to make it.
It is really hard to make it.
Yeah.
And
Ty Madden, that tells me.
You know, Ty Madden's going to be a high draft pick. There's no kid. No doubt.
I mean, he's making it.
I mean, he looks the part. I mean, he's got that great arm tilt. The ball just, hits 100 miles an hour sometimes with the fastball. He's sturdy. He's well built to be a staff ace. I mean, he's exactly what the big leagues are looking for. And we'll see what he does here with the Longhorns. A high ceiling. When you have that guy and then Tristan Stevens, whose first team all Big 12, is your number two. Then you have the bullpen Texas has. Pete Hansen's your number three. Texas has everything you need to make a long run in this. Now that the regular season's over, it's tournament time. The Horns are built to be good in these tournaments. So there's your BNE fact of the day. Let's get to your headlines, your trending topics. Make sure you're fully in the know as you get up and out. UVO Business Services brings it to you. Yeah, we just mentioned it. Big 12 awards announced yesterday, 2 days after the Longhorns won the Big 12 regular season title. At least a share of it. They had to share it with TCU. But plenty of accolades. Ty Madden, the conference pitcher of the year. Head coach David Pierce, the conference's skipper of the year. The second time he's won that award in 5 years. You also had Saturday starter Tristan Stevens, along with second baseman Mitchell Daly and DH Ivan Melendez on the first team All Big 12. Third baseman Cam Williams, outfielder Mike Antico, named to the second team. Horns are the top seed in this week's Big 12 tournament in OKC. They will face the winner of today's matchup. West Virginia, Kansas will play. Longhorns will play them, the winner of that game, tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. We will talk with Texas head coach David Pierce, the manager of the year, coming up at 8:30 this morning here on BNA. 12th-ranked Texas women softball team will be in action this Friday. They've advanced to the Super Regional round of the NCAA tournament. They will open the best-of-three series at 5th-ranked Oklahoma State on Friday. Major announcement yesterday from the Austin FC. They, along with city officials here in Austin, announced that Q2 Stadium will operate at 100% capacity when the Verde play their first match in the new stadium on June 19th. The 20,500-seat arena, the brand-new stadium there, will officially open 3 days earlier, June 16th, when the U.S. Women's National Team plays Nigeria in a friendly. That will also be 100% capacity. NBA playoffs last night, couple of blowouts in first-round action. Milwaukee took a commanding 2-0 lead in their best-of-seven with Miami, 132-98, the final. Game one, remember, was a back-and-forth overtime thriller. This one over early. Bucks outscored the Heat 46-20 in the first quarter. Second game, also one-sided, as Denver evened their series with Portland with a victory, 128-109. Triple header of NBA action tonight. Boston faces Brooklyn in game two of that series. Nets are up 1-0. Also, the LA Lakers play at Phoenix. Suns up 1-0 in that series. And then the LA Clippers will host the Dallas Mavericks. Mavericks stole game one. Could they go up 2-0? We'll find out tonight. Also from the NBA, Utah Jazz guard Jordan Clarkson named the league's sixth man of the year. Major League Baseball last night, Rangers and Astros both took the night off. Texas opens a series in Anaheim tonight. Meanwhile, the Astros will welcome the LA Dodgers to Minute Maid Park in a great series. Very compelling. Zach Greinke faces Clayton Kershaw tonight in Game 1. Round Rock was a 7-3 loser in Tacoma last night.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
You know, Aaron Rodgers and his thoughts on the Green Bay culture. What can Green Bay do to satisfy this guy now? Says to say our culture was wrong, we should have treated you better, and can we now move on and you be our quarterback? Or is that a done deal? What can he say after he said do things the right way? What is that? I don't understand what that means.
Well, let's play that again. Can we play Aaron Rodgers again for folks who are just jumping in? And Aaron Rodgers was on ESPN last night saying goodbye to his friend Kenny Mayne. That's the reason he did the interview. Mm-hmm. Kenny Mayne is leaving ESPN after 3 decades there, and they've been longtime friends. And so Aaron Rodgers did the interview, and it was actually pretty funny the way Kenny Mayne walked off. But here is what Aaron Rodgers had to say, because Kenny Mayne had to ask him about the current rift with the Packers.
It's never been about, never been about the draft pick, picking Jordan. I love Jordan. He's a great kid. A lot of fun to work together. I love the coaching staff. Love my teammates. I love the fan base in Green Bay. It's incredible 16 years. It's just kind of about a philosophy, and maybe forgetting that it is about the people that make the thing go. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way. And a lot of this was put in motion last year, and the wrench was just kind of thrown into it when I won MVP and played the way I played last year. So this is just kind of, I think, the spill out of all that. But look, man, it is about the people, and that's the most important thing. Green Bay has always been about the people, from Curly Lambeau being owner and founder to the 60s with Lombardi and Bart Starr and all those incredible names, to the 90s teams with Coach Holmgren and Farvey and the Minister of Defense to the run that we've been on. It's about the people.
Yeah, to your question is what can they do to change it? I think it comes down to the general manager. He doesn't like Brian Gutekunst, and
There's somebody he doesn't. There's a particular person
he does not.
Okay,
it's him.
What do you want him fired, or do you want him to come to you and say, you know, we've made some mistakes? Do you want that guy to come and bow down to you and say,
it's a very,
sorry?
It's a very vague thing he's saying. It's very broad. There's no specifics, but I think that would be a good start. But they're not going to do that. They're not going to fire their GM. That'd be a terrible precedent to have a. Wouldn't be the first time a player in a professional sport has gotten a manager or a general manager whacked.
Well, hell, he got the head coach fired a couple years ago.
He did. And, by the way, it's interesting he says that because this kind of rolls right into something I want to talk about and is a lead story in our coach's corner. Brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com. Tom McKay and his great crew there.
Hey, how about Tom McKay giving away an 85-inch screen TV at the Mullet Open?
How big?
80.
Damn. Do I have a wall big enough for that damn thing? I think so.
I don't know what you do with that. You just lean it against the wall somewhere, right?
I'd have to have Tom come hang it and put some serious structure behind it and continue.
That's always the last prize of the Mullet Open is
85. Could you get in your car?
Damn.
Like that thing's got to come to my house first before
get
it goes
home?
Out
I
there.
I got to rent a truck to get it home.
Yeah, dude just said, hey, listen, I got to get that out to your house. I'm like, no.
Bring
that thing out with you, will you? Well, let me have to tote that out there.
Mullet Open coming up June 11th out at Wolf Dancer. And thank you to Tom and everybody contributing to that great cause. Hey, so here's an issue. ESPN had a story talking about the transfer portal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Transfer portal is a thing. It's here. We know it. Everyone's in it. Not everyone, but a lot of people in it. NBA or college basketball, NFL or college football is dealing with the transfer portal. And former Longhorn head coach Mack Brown, now at North Carolina. By the way, Carolina's going to have a top 10 to 12 team when the preseason polls come out. I think that's fair to say for Mack. But in an ESPN article, Mack Brown brought this issue to the front with the transfer portal. He said, you play a team now and you go out and you don't go shake the coach's hand on the other side. He said, you go shake the hand with the great young tight end and say, hey, you look great, man. Oh, man, well, we should have recruited you. Wish you were here, and Mack says. And he says, well, now he can be. So his point in this article is that coaches around the country are concerned that tampering is going to be rampant, and I think that's obvious, that some schools will form recruiting boards to evaluate potential transfers and then actually be able to get behind the scenes and talk to high school coaches and, you know, relatives, personal trainers, let them know that, hey, we might be interested in your player. If he's a little bit disgruntled, we'd like to maybe have him consider us, which you're not allowed to do,
Our offense fits you a little bit better than we saw you play this week. You'd be better in our offense than what we did after we just whipped your ass. So maybe you ought to think about coming with us. I mean, and our defense. I mean, yeah, there'll be a lot of that stuff going on. There'll be a lot of glad handing and putting their arms around. You'll see coaches walk off with other kids.
Well, which is funny, within the same article by ESPN, you had Luke Fickell, the coach at Cincinnati, and Sam Pittman, the new head coach at Arkansas, who the Longhorns will run into coming up in September, you know, saying, well, look, he's right, but what we have to do, and this is where this story relates to Aaron Rodgers a little bit, is we have to do a better job of building relationships with our players, like our entire roster. We as coaches, here's what Luke Fickell said. He said, what we have always believed, but sometimes we lose sight of, is that you have to continually build your relationship with a kid. I've always done a great job of doing that with the kids that are playing, but I've done a bad job in all my days of coaching the kids that might not be in the top 7 or 8 of the top linebackers. You've got those redshirt kids and guys on the scout team, and hey, that's part of life. I see you in 6 months when the season ends. But he goes on to say, we've got to do a better job of building relationships, not just the head coach, but all the coaches.
Absolutely.
With the whole roster. Sam Pittman at Arkansas echoed the same sentiment, saying, I think it's easy to say that someone is tampered if you lose somebody, but in all honesty, we have to look at ourselves internally and in our program. Have we done all the things? Have we been honest and true? Have we built relationships where he won't want to leave us? What Sam Pittman said.
Yes, we just talked to Jimmy Turner last week about building relationships. It's important. I mean, I built relationships with guys from the first team guy all the way to the Jimmy Turners of the world. They were still
very much part
of what I did each and every day. Is that guy right there is important.
When he was a walk-on fullback,
yeah, they're all important.
He felt that he had a great relationship with you, which
that's what's important.
You weren't going to do much for him carrying a football.
No, because he wasn't going to carry it that much. No, you weren't going to carry. But what did you do at school? How important was school work today? What was going on at school? How's your family? I know about your dad. I know about this. I mean, you have to build those relationships all the time. You can't, because it's the fourth team guy, you know, I mean, believe me, I've heard from dads, or I mean, like Howard Griffith, his son. I mean, there are coaches who've coached his son before that may be around, and relationships weren't built very good.
Howard Griffith, your former fullback at Illinois, yeah. An NFL Super Bowl champion twice with the Denver Broncos.
They've got coaches here that have coached his son. So there's some different building that you have to do, or a dad's going to think a certain way about you. And I never wanted somebody to think. I just wanted them to understand I was going to give their kid. My deal was, you're getting an opportunity to get a great education. Everybody's not the best. You know when your son is a walk-on, a third-string guy. But I don't treat him any different. Yeah. I jam around with him. He's invited to everything that we do. Every occasion that I had, a walk-on was invited to come to my house on Thanksgiving. If you leave those relationships behind, and it may be with a third-string guy, somebody will come and snatch that dude up. Ask Jake Spavathol what's going on now all of a sudden. All those guys that he gathered up, now they're all after him at other schools right now. He's losing guys down there.
Yeah. It's the Wild Wild West.
They wanted it. Guess what? They wanted it,
too. And you could build the best relationships in the world with a kid, but if there's still going to be kids that decide it's best for me to move because I'm not going to play.
Well, I get an opportunity to play, mate. Maybe.
And you know, look, to be fair, some guys are highly recruited out of high school that get to a place like Texas or in Alabama and realize, look, I'm not good enough for here. I mean, I'm going to compete my ass off and try, but I might be better at a lower level.
You know who knows that? They do.
Yeah, and you learn that, but you don't come out of high school. You think you're the you-know-what, and you learn. But then there's guys who think they're better than the guy in front of them, and they're not playing. It's about the coach. It's about relationships. That's still going to happen. But I was interested to hear Luke Fickell and Sam Pittman say, hey, we got to do a better job. We've got to do, like you used, you know, build relationships from the ground up. And I think, to relate that to Aaron Rodgers, I think that's what Aaron Rodgers is saying. He thinks the front office needs to be a little more relationship building with the team, and not just so callous and cutthroat and black and white.
And those things, if you continue to build those relationships, it's harder because you lose your relationships because you have to spend so much time. You lose relationships at home at times. You lose stuff with your family because you're still trying to build relationships with a guy who's the fifth string guy, and you got to love him up, and I got to spend some more time over here doing this and that. Those things are hard to do. But in this day and age, hell, with the way those guys make money, I'll live with them.
Coaches
making 700 G's. I mean, really.
I think this quote right here we're going to play from Nick Saban will become a staple of the Coach's Corner. This is kind of the philosophy. Nick Saban talking about choices young people think they have.
You know, these guys sort of don't – they all think they have this illusion of choice. Like, I can do whatever I want to do. And we kind of – have a younger generation now that doesn't always get told no. They don't always get told this is exactly how you need to do it. So they have this illusion that they have all these choices. But the fact of the matter is if you want to be good, you really don't have a lot of choices because it takes what it takes. You have to do what you have to do to be successful. So you have to make the choices and decisions to have the discipline and the focus to the process of what you need to do to accomplish your goals. And all these guys that think they have a lot of choices are really, you know, sort of sadly mistaken. And I think, as we all have done with our own children, they learn these lessons of life as they get older. And sometimes the best way to learn is from the mistakes that you make, even though we all hate to see them have to make them. And we don't really condone it when they do.
There's Nick Saban. The illusion of choice.
Yeah, you don't have as many choices as you think, especially if you want to be really good at what you're doing. Can't go to five different places. Oh, this year I'm not that good. Let me take another choice. But you get different opportunities. The way the system works now, there are opportunities to get another chance, you know?
It needed to happen, I believe. But at the same time, I think there's got to be that common sense that Nick Saban brings. Remember, Nick Saban had three prominent juniors who foregoed their chance to go to the NFL to come back and win at Alabama last year, including the Heisman Trophy winner Devontae Smith.
That's relationships. That's what that's all about. That's what Sark. That's what the wide receiver coach. That's what the running back coach.
That's right.
That's not about I need to go get my money now. That's about somebody built a relationship with those guys that they're willing to sacrifice possibly getting hurt to come back and doing something together. And that's what I said with the other day, with this kid who's not going to play his senior year.
Jaden Blue, the Longhorn recruit, the running back.
Sark's going to be put in a situation. He can't play that game with everybody that comes down the pike, because it'll get to now a freshman or an eighth grader decides, you know what, I'm just going to go to school, but I'll accept your scholarship. He'll have to at some point say, listen, you, in order to come to University of Texas, you have to play your senior. If you're healthy, you have to play your senior year. I don't care how good you are. You have to start making a stand on that, or it'll start trickling down to a junior.
Yeah.
It'll start trickling down to a sophomore. You have to be the one in charge. You have to say, sorry, I know you're a great player, but you probably ought to go to Texas Tech, because that's not what we do at Texas.
Well, I think
you play in your senior year in high school. We need to see film of you. I don't want to see film of you working out and trying to tell me how you're working out. You go play football. Is there something wrong with you that you can't play football? No, I just think it's best for me. And no, that's not best for our team. Because I got to explain to the rest of the team on my program that you skipped out on your senior year in high school because you wanted to come to Texas. When you get here, you know what those guys are going to do to you who played in their senior year? They're going to look at you and say, oh, you're the dude who didn't play in your senior year?
Well, I think Jaden Blue, for my opinion, Jaden Blue's the kid from the Klein area that's coming to Texas, four-star running back, who has decided he's not going to play his senior year and enroll early at Texas. That's what Nick Saban is saying, the illusion of choice. You can make that choice, but is that the best way? I mean, there's one way to be really good. It's to go compete with your teammates, to try to win a state title, to try to win a district championship, to get better as a player, show the discipline to play. That's what he's saying. There's a way. I mean, it's not completely black and white, but we kind of know how to get there, how to be great. Skipping your senior season of high school football, that's not part of the way, is it? I mean, and to your point, if you're Steve Sarkisian, you kind of have to have a policy on this.
Well, it's going to come to a policy.
It really is.
Because the next great one's going to say, I'm not going to play my sophomore year or my junior.
But as you said yesterday, if Ricky Williams had told you that as a junior,
yeah,
you still would have held a spot for him because you knew how damn good he was.
What? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can't have that rule for one and not others. Because that's who's going to make that decision. They're the best players in the state if that trend continues. But we'll take your thoughts on all those, from Aaron Rodgers to, you know, loving it up and getting a little more relationship driven with Green Bay, which is what coaches are going to have to do at the college level with this transfer portal and Nick Saban, the illusion of choice. We'll take that wide ranging conversation. Also coming back, if you missed it late last week, the legislature at the state of Texas level passed the Name, Image, and Likeness Bill for the state of Texas. We'll get you details on what that means for college athletics here in the Lone Star State, including the University of Texas. Isaiah Collier will lead us through the hot or not topics after that. And head coach David Pierce, Texas baseball, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. It's BNE on a Tuesday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
BNA for your Tuesday. Looking forward to a conversation with David Pierce in 1 hour. The manager of the year in the Big 12 Conference.
Awesome.
Coach of the year. Congratulations to Skipper. We'll talk and say our congratulations to him in 1 hour. Normally we visit on Thursdays, but they very well and likely will be playing on Thursday next week at the Big 12, or this week at the Big 12 Tournament. And so we'll talk to Coach Pierce on this Tuesday.
Let me say this. When I say about this particular... It's not just about this particular kid, because I don't know enough about the kid as a kid. So I'm just talking about for football, for being a head coach. There are certain stances that you have to make and, you know, and certain things that you have to do and say, this is where our program is. This is what we do. I'm not going to make an exception. I can't make an exception for this or that, because it's going to eventually come down there. We're about to lose high school football and high school football players going off. Coaches continue to tell you that high school football is our bread and butter. That's not going to be true here in the next 4 or 5 years. That's about to come to an end. It really is. I mean, I feel bad about it. I feel bad for high school coaches. But
why is that?
Because of the transfer portal. That they're going to start just taking players that are veteran, what they call veteran guys. I mean, you're going to have
high schools are?
Well, no, colleges are. Kids are going to lose scholarships to the portal. They're going to be picking and choosing from other colleges and things like that. And the high school football player, unless you're really, really exceptional, you're going to have to be a four-star.
Yeah, college coaches are going to take the two-year player over the high school kid.
And there's so many of them. They're all over the place right now. Like I said, they're going to now, groups like the Fun Belt, we saw the Fun Belt last year have some outstanding players and some outstanding teams. Well, they're going to be some of those guys that are going to go to Division One. The Power Five is going to come to their place and say, how would you like to come and play here at Tennessee, and you're playing somewhere in the Fun Belt? You could lose five or six guys, six, seven, eight guys.
I mean, that's
going to
be the cycle, right? I mean,
yes.
We've seen Oklahoma added three Tennessee transfers. Well, the new coach at Tennessee is going to be looking in, around the portal to try to fill some spots, and you're not going to go with high school players on that.
Right. He needs players that can play immediately.
That's correct. And, I mean, high school players will still be recruited, but not as, you know, the top players will. But there's that next tier of player.
Who have had opportunities to go on and do really well in college.
Yeah, this is going to be real interesting the next several years of how this all plays out. Now, add to that, before we get to this national or this name, image, and likeness discussion, let me remind you, in addition to looking forward to a visit with David Pearson 1 hour, we're looking forward to a lot of fun this week, Buck. We've got the Colonial up in Fort Worth with Phil Mickelson, the PGA champion, teeing off. That'll be fun.
Spieth is playing. He's got to be there
Jordan
at home,
Spieth
right?
Spieth will be there. Huge galleries are expected in Fort Worth this weekend. Also looking forward to a triple header of NBA action tonight, with including the Mavericks. Can the Mavericks take two straight? Can Luka and the Mavs get two in a row against the Clippers? That's the late game tonight of the three. Also looking forward to Astros-Dodgers tonight in Major League Baseball. That'll be fun. Well, we're not looking forward to, you know, the fans are coming back to ball games. We had a female brawl in the stands last night between the Cardinals and the White Sox. You seen the video of this? Two women.
No, uppercuts, the whole works.
Oh, throwing hands. You like that, Zay, when you get two ladies going at it, man. They don't mess around.
Love it. Love a good cat fight.
Yeah, man. That's what we don't like, but the fans are back. 100% capacity for Austin FC. That was announced yesterday, as we told you it would be. So exciting times. But here's the other top story that affects college athletics. Transfer portal is one. And number two happened last Thursday when the Texas Senate overwhelmingly passed a bill that will allow college athletes in the state to be paid for the use of their name, image, and likeness. Dozens of other states across the country have, you know, already done this with similar legislation. Senator Brandon Creighton of Conroe, Texas, authored the bill. It will allow athletes to enter into contracts that will maintain recruiting competition for the universities in the state as they wait for the NCAA and the federal government to approve national rules. I mean, this is why all these states are doing it. They're waiting on the NCAA and the federal level to put out a blanket rule on name, image, and likeness, which hasn't happened yet. So these individual states are getting ahead of it because, you know, you don't want, if you got Florida can recruit, can give you name, image, and likeness, that's a recruiting advantage if Texas doesn't have the same rule.
I wonder if that will take, I wonder on that either, you know, when they write it down on pen and paper and all that stuff, will they leave out that you cannot represent alcohol?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, oh, they did? Okay.
That's in the bill.
That's what I would think.
That is in the bill. Now,
you
the
can't
bill,
be doing Baker, what is it, Maker's Mark commercials?
No.
For them?
Well, the band, you know, according to this, student-athletes would still be barred from entering into contracts with particular industries, including alcohol, tobacco products, casino gambling, firearms, sexually oriented businesses.
FanDuel?
No, that's gambling. No, okay. No. That would be off limits, according to this bill in the Texas House. Now, this now goes to the Texas House for consideration. If passed, the bill would go into effect on September the 1st, 3 days before the Longhorn season opener against Louisiana. The proposal would not allow student-athletes to be compensated for playing their sport. It would only lift – all this does is lift the ban on allowing student-athletes to be paid by outside parties. That's what the law says. Currently, students who accept money for their stature as a college athlete would lose eligibility to play in the NCAA. College athletes under the legislation would be allowed to also hire an agent to represent them. And also interesting in this bill, Buck, it requires athletes to take a financial literacy workshop during their first and third years of college. So if you're going to make money, you got to learn and be taught how to handle the money properly.
Financial. So it's a class you have to attend.
That's part of it. If you want to enter into these contracts, that's part of the deal.
Okay.
You know, do we have Chris Del Conte? Because we talked to Chris on Friday, and I asked him about this, you know, pending legislation, and if the University of Texas Athletic Department, how they're prepared to handle it.
Phenomenal. You know what? We have great leadership on our department with Aaron Dunn and Kevin Washington that worked our Forever Texas program and now our Leverage program, which are designed to make sure that our student athletes are prepared for the workforce in our Forever Texas program. And the idea that we do from etiquette dinners to resume building to dress for success and academics, all the things that we put internships to put them prepared to get a job. That's our Forever Texas program. Our Leverage program is side by side. That's taking your name, image, and likeness, your NIL, your own individual name, image, and likeness, and how we can monetize that or how you can best do that yourself. So we're just a lot of education. I think the building blocks are in place. I know they are in place, and I'm excited for that. And it's you know, the evolution of college athletics and the opportunity for a young student to come take advantage of that is phenomenal. However, what we cannot lose sight of is that the average student in the United States has a loan debt of $38,000 per student. It's $2 trillion. Majority of our student athletes go to the University of Texas free education. Only 2% of our student athletes go pro. So what we have to do is make sure they have all the tools necessary that when they leave here, they will change the world for coming to the University of Texas. And I firmly believe that. And that's through these two programs that we put forth for them.
And he's telling you, he still believes, you know, it wasn't that long ago that Chris Del Conte didn't believe in this whole deal. Image and likeness and making money through that stuff.
He was
totally the other way.
Yeah. Chaotic and kind of the wild, wild west.
But he understands he's evolved too.
Well, and the schools are going to be tasked with kind of managing it, even though they
say they're not.
But, well, you just said the Texas Forever. I mean, they'll have assistance. But
because they don't want you to screw up and not be able to play.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's going to be up to the coaches and the compliance office to make sure everybody's on the up and up.
But he also said how important it is to get an education from that university, because that goes with you a long way, too. He's still saying that.
Well, sure. And he's right. But the fact that he said only 2% of the athletes at Texas, and if you're an athlete at Texas, you're in the upper percentile anyhow, and only 2% of those go pro.
Right.
That's all the more reason to allow them to cash in on their name, image, and likeness while they're here.
Right.
So 98% of them aren't going to play professional.
But
so,
at the same time, he's telling you to cash in on your education by coming to Texas.
Do both. And that's what this allows. I mean, that's what I'm all for. We've always been all for. You can cash in on your... I mean, if you're a high-level, you know, softball player at the University of Texas, you can go get paid to put on a camp for softball now under this rule.
God, somebody has to keep in the contracts of what you do at that camp.
Well, sure. But at the same time, you couldn't do that before, and, you know, you can capitalize on your brand, not the Texas brand, but Texas recruited you, which tells you you're pretty good. You have a brand. You can build on that, whether it's through social media, whether it's through an influencer, whether it's through a camp, whether it's whatever it is, whatever it becomes, signing contracts. You can hire an agent, and guess what your agent's job is to do? Find you deals.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, and then you know.
Head on down to Dripping Springs.
Yeah.
Get yourself a job. Get yourself a gig. Pizza place.
Well, and think about this. I mean, under this rule, I mean, wherever you came from, you're probably a pretty big deal in your hometown.
If you're a star, for sure. If
you
your
can
hometown's
have deals
big
there.
Enough, yes. Yes, you can.
And so, to Del Conte's point, that is always been my point. 98% of those guys, these players, athletes, will not go pro. Let them cash in on their name while they're here. And this is what this law allows them to do. Will it create a ripple effect and some issues? No doubt. No question. But
that's why your university has to have that under control, or because you don't want to miss four-star players because, oh, you didn't sign this paper this week. You made this, but you forgot to sign that. Guess what you can't do this week? You can't play this week.
Mm.
I mean, that's what the NCAA is going to have to deal with. That's why they're saying, oh, this is all on you guys now.
Yeah, it is, because the NCAA hasn't had a rule yet, hasn't approved theirs yet.
No.
So this is a state-by-state situation, and it's going to be a mess. I mean, but at the same time, it's the right thing to do, in my opinion. But look, the next step on this, I mean, look down the road, is, boy, what if there's a hotshot player? You know, insert Trevor Lawrence here, right? Trevor Lawrence is a known commodity. He's at Clemson. Everyone knows he's going to be the first pick. What if at Clemson is a Nike school? What if Adidas comes in and his agent wants to cut a deal with Adidas just for Trevor while he's there and when he gets into the NFL and he's ahead of the curve on that? You know, that's going to lead to lawsuits. This is
the higher up you are, the better agents you're going to have and the better people around you. That's just the way it
that's
works.
That's obvious.
Yeah.
But it has to go this way because it's – you know, the NCAA is in front of the Supreme Court right now. A ruling will come down this summer, and it's not looking good for the NCAA to continue to promote this amateurism thing because there's too much money in the system. They can't, you know, the amateurism thing doesn't hold up. This is the middle ground on that with name, image, and likeness. So that's coming. It was approved on Thursday in the House. It'll head there in the Senate. It'll head to the House for approval, and we'll keep you posted on that. That's Chris Del Conte's thoughts on name, image, and likeness. Also, the transfer portal. Buck, it'll be interesting. You mentioned high school recruiting is going to diminish.
I just feel bad, you know, now that I'm doing high school games and I never coached in high school, but I see it. I mean, I smell it coming. Nobody wants to talk about it, but yeah, so you're not going to get, well, this guy's going to, no, because that guy who's questionable that would end up at, I don't know,
Well, look, let me
say whatever school
we'll pick
you
this
want,
up on the other side of hot or not.
Tough.
But look, I mean, if you're right, and I think you are spot on that college coaches are going to look for the veteran player that's transferring over a high school kid who's never played college football before. Because and you have, as I always say, you have tape of watching him play against college players, not high school players.
Correct.
And 2 years of body development, and 2 years in a strength and development system.
Different from a high school kid.
Different. But there's a trickle down effect to all these things, right? It's sick. There's going to be the high school player, the 5-star player, and the 4-star player still going to get recruited.
Absolutely.
To college. The below that, who normally would still get recruited. Well, now they could end up at the Sun Belt, like in a school they never would have considered before. There's got to be a trick. There's got to be an answer to it.
But if they get better,
that's
all
right.
Of a sudden,
oh, yeah.
Somebody else is coming.
No,
for
it's going to be a whole new landscape of how it all works. It doesn't mean those opportunities won't be there, but you're almost skipping a step because if you're a lower 3-star, 4-star player that doesn't get recruited now, you're going to end up at a smaller school where you can.
Yeah, but sometimes some of the threes are pretty damn good that end up at a place like a Texas A&M, a Texas Tech, and guess what they end up being? Zach Thomas end up being really unbelievable players. They may lose out on that opportunity.
Well, I guess my point would be instead of going to a place like Texas and being a bottom of the roster guy who doesn't see the field, you'll go somewhere and play immediately and get to show that you're good. And if you want to stay, stay. If you now have an option to transfer back to that bigger school after you've played a couple of years.
Yeah, well, you hope that happens for you, even at those schools.
Well, I think it will. It's just a natural evolution of how the process will be different. Because, look, I mean, if you're really good and you get recruited, but you end up as a bottom-of-the-roster player, you're going to transfer out to go find your opportunity. What you're saying is that may just start sooner now. You're going to start at a smaller level, and you'll get to play quicker.
As I said, that's what happened. As many guys as Jake has taken in down at Texas State, somebody's now coming for his guys.
Oh, sure. And then there's going to be a natural. There's for every cause, there's an effect. And the transfer portal is going to affect high school recruiting.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean it's going to eliminate high school recruiting.
No, I'm not saying it's going to eliminate it, but it's going to affect.
It's going to change where those guys end up, where they start their high school, their college careers.
Yeah, some of those guys that have aspirations of being at the big schools are going to find out, guess what?
That's right.
They're taking on other guys who already played
for
2 years.
That's exactly right. There were not as many rooms at the end at that point. All right, we will be back and continue that conversation, your thoughts on it. Plus, Isaiah Collier, our tremendous producer, leads us through the hot or not topics of the morning. David Pierce joins us at 8:30.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hey, Buck, recent survey says the average person believes they could survive 16 days in the wilderness. 16 days. When I asked you, what is your survival number? What day is it?
I'm dead by 6. Just dead. Roadkill.
Again, it's just survive, not survive comfortably. It's just survive. How long do you think you could survive before you're dead?
Six, seven max. A week max.
Zay, what's your number?
I just roll over.
I say about 26 hours.
Oh! That's it.
I'm going to beat that for sure.
Man, y'all have heard the term blacker the bear, the sweeter the juice. Ain't no way I'm lasting out there.
Come on,
really?
Man.
In the wilderness?
Yes, you would.
To live?
Here's what happened. Your adrenaline would kick in. Your natural human survival instinct would kick in. You don't want to die.
You don't want to die. You'd go get a bear, tear his inside out,
yes.
Live inside the bear's body,
right,
sleep inside the bear.
Right now we're all soft. We live comfortably. But if you were forced into survival mode, I think we could do better than a day and a half, say.
I'm good. 7. Then I'm dead. Sorry. I made it a week.
If it's my time to go, it's my time to go.
I think I could go north of 16. I think my survival instinct would, in 48 years of training, I'd figure something out. I don't want to die. Now, could happen dying day one, get eaten by a bear or something. I don't know. But
get bit by a snake.
I'd fight him like Leonardo DiCaprio did in The Revenant. I'd fight him. I wouldn't go down without a fight.
No, I'm not going to make that bear. I'm going to say, go ahead, taste this. Do you really want this? I'm not going to fight that bear. Are you really fight you, bear?
Oh, what's your number? Zay, what say you in Hot or Not? Topics we've missed halfway through the show.
Thanks, fellas. And today's Hot or Not features your boy and me being very salty because last night Jordan Clarkson won Sixth Man of the Year. And if people don't know, before he went to Tulsa, then Missouri, before he got to drafted, Jordan Clarkson is a San Antonio native, went to San Antonio Wagner. where he played against me at Bowie High School, 2008, third-round playoffs, where Celestor Collier didn't have him on the scouting report at all.
You're calling out your pops?
Yes.
You better be careful
No, Buck. Celestor owes me an apology because Jordan Clarkson gave me a smooth 25.
Ooh.
Smooth 25. I'm over here like, well, coach, he's not on the scouting report. And Wagner was very good that year. They went to the state tournament, Final Four. I don't care.
First of all, you can't throw your dad under the bus.
The man is an NBA player, Buck. Sixth man of the year. Average 18 a game for the number one seed, Utah Jazz. Why isn't he on the scouting report?
I got to go.
That's not. Wait a minute. There's an assistant in here somewhere that should be under the bus and not your pops.
Yeah, well, that's his program. Coach CC, come on now.
And after
he scout him?
After he hit about his fourth three in my face, CC pulls me out and gives me a huge yell down.
In front of everybody?
Oh, yeah, in front of everybody, in front of the crowd, like, we got to guard somebody.
Hey, listen, you just need to play better. That's kind of the deal I got when I played John McAfee in golf. He was a zero handicap, and I was about a 12. He said, you know what? You just need to play better.
You should have gotten 12 strokes, though. You should have gotten 12 strokes.
He said, no strokes. You just need to play better.
Sounds very McAvickian.
It was. And for Zay, guess what? You just need to suck it up, Buttercup, and play better.
The
guy can't be scoring 25 on you.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Zay's dad is the longtime basketball coach at Bowie High School, who you played for. It's always fun to play for your pops. And, yeah, you know what? Hot or not, we need to be renamed to segment where Isaiah brings his grudges to the front. You know what I'm talking
about? Against everybody.
I love it. No, but I heard Ed Too Tall Jones say it just last week when we visited with him. You know, all you want from your coach is to be prepared. You want to feel like you're given every opportunity to be as prepared as you can be. Tom Landry, right? And I don't know if in Coach CC's case that was the case. He went to Missouri.
I was
NBA player, baller. Not on the scouting report.
Zay, listen. I was just a little average basketball player at a little parochial school in Pennsylvania, but nobody's getting off for 25 on me. Somebody's going to get nut punched. Somebody's going to get a cheap shot. Somebody's going to be limping over to the sideline, LeBron. You know what I'm saying, LeBron James? Somebody's going down.
I can see this.
Nobody's going 25.
And
no way.
You're the baller. You're the player. But the coach's job is to coach and have a scouting report ready, right? Put that together. That's what you do.
I'm following coach's instructions. He's telling me to help on their 6'8 big. I'm helping down. The 6'8 big throws it out to, again, NBA bound, sixth man of the year this year.
Did the kid go to college?
Yeah. Missouri.
Went to Missouri.
First
he went to Tulsa, mid-major, realized that he was better than what, you know, he obviously is. Went to Missouri.
I'll tell you this. I first heard the name Jordan Clarkson back in the day. Remember our buddy Nils?
Yes.
Buddy Nils, he was trying to get us.
Getting to Michigan State?
Well, yeah, he wanted him on the Texas radar.
Yeah, that's why they're probably on probation now, because it's behind the scenes.
Clarkson was under-recruited. I mean, that's why he ended up at Tulsa. Now he goes to Missouri as a transfer, and now he's in the NBA. Sixth man of the year. His teammate was the runner-up for that. How about that? I didn't know you
should have got a technical in that game. You should have got a tee him up. Go ahead and elbow him in the face or something.
You can't tee. Well, he wanted to elbow the coach. He's like, Pops, help me. You're burning me over here.
Elbow that dude, that NBA star, right in the nads.
I just want an apology, coach. Call me up later if you're listening. Say, Zay, I'm sorry.
I'm pretty sure you're not getting one today.
I have a basic logic question for the NBA. How can you have the sixth man of the year and the runner-up on the same team? Wouldn't he be the seventh man? How do you have two sixth men? You can only have one of those, correct?
That's all, just one.
But they had the winner and the runner-up in Utah. That doesn't seem to make sense either.
You were soft in high school, huh?
Oh, I was tough.
Okay.
Physical.
Now, let me also say, you got a good scouting report typically every game, right?
Yes.
You have to get a scouting report.
Yes. Coach is really good at his scouting.
Hey, the machine was down. The printer was down.
CC apologize to you ever?
He needs to.
Zay is coming, baby. Michael Griffin got it.
That's right.
Coach CC.
Man.
Hey, we're having fun. Speaking of coaches, David Pierce will join us at 8:30. We'll continue these big conversations surrounding college athletics, name, image, and likeness, transfer portal. What is happening in our college world? It's B&E on the Horn.